It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, let's just dive right into it. The quote of the day, innovation comes from the producer, not from the customer. And that quote is from W. Edwards Deming. And if you're not familiar with W. Edward Deming's, then you need to check him out. The guy is responsible for turning Japan around after World War II. And he is one of the leaders, thought leaders, fathers of innovation and constant and never-ending improvement. Innovation comes from the producer, not from the customer. Again, W. Edward Deming. All right, I'm excited. I'm being joined today by Philip Rook. Philip Rook has been in e-commerce for more than 20 years and is the CEO of the company Spreadshirt, which is headquartered in Leipzig. I don't know if I got that right, Germany. This is big business and deals heavily with on-person self-expression. Spreadshirt is a $120 million a year business. Philip, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hi, thank you. So Spreadshirt is a company that actually connects, with the producer innovators connecting with the consumer innovators. So Spreadshirt allows anybody to design their own T-shirts and buy them, but more excitingly in our business, we allow anybody to put their ideas for sale on Spreadshirt or through a shop system we provide for them and sell their ideas. So we actually allow consumers to innovate their ideas through our software innovation and our printing.
I love it. All right, so let me ask you this. The whole idea of getting involved with a company like Spreadshirt and allowing producers, innovators to, you know, be creative and all that, this has become a very competitive market. And so what makes you guys different? You know, what makes you, you know, what is Spreadshirt doing in the industry that maybe some of your competitors are not doing?
Yeah, I think we are the most international. We're in 18 countries, so the US, Canada, Australia, and 15 countries in Europe. And unlike most of our competitors, we print our own T-shirts and hoodies and the other clothing and merchandising we sell ourselves. So we make certain that the quality is there and we're able to deliver at a very high standard. But the real innovation is in the software. You can, say, open a shop on our platform in 10 minutes and be selling your designs on shops without any upfront costs. All you have to do is share the shop that you've created on our system or market it. We do all the printing, all the taxes, all the financial work, all the customer services. And in the end, we send the shop owner the profits and enable people to make profits out of their design ability or the campaigns they're running. So we have a lot of social media influencers, a lot of political groups who use us to create merchandising and deliver it. And that's unique. They were the only people who provide you with a fully white-labeled shop. It doesn't look and sound like Spreadshirt. It is down to you, your branding, your ideas. We just enable that.
Man, that's extraordinary. So what really caught my attention is that you're warehousing all the materials. And so if I go to Spreadshirt.com and I create my shop and I sell, here I am in the U.S., I sell, let's say, 100 shirts for my team or whatever it is. Is that material now being shipped from Germany to the U.S.?
No. We have a factory in Greensburg, just outside Pittsburgh, and another one in Henderson near Las Vegas, where we will print and deliver within the U.S. so that we deliver, we will print and deliver within 2 to 3 days.
Wow. And as the producer, I can, you know, obviously I can charge whatever I want. Obviously I have to cover the cost of the spreadsheet, but is that correct? Am I more or less able to create my own prices?
You can move your prices up and down to where you want them to be. We give you some guidelines so that, there's a price you can't go below because then we'd make no money. But most people want to make a profit. And it enables some people to optimize their pricing depending on their needs. So our biggest group who use us are often YouTubers and social media influencers. They're mostly marketing to teenagers, so they want a lower price, and they can choose, let's say, an average T-shirt. We have some people who are doing merchandising for their businesses, and therefore they want a more premium T-shirt, but they don't need to make a profit. We have people who run political campaigns for or against guns, or examples like that, as you were talking about that recently. And they maybe don't want to make a profit because they're just trying to get the message out onto people's shirts. I think in one of your early interviews you talked about things happen for a day in social media or if you do a protest, but we get people trying to get you to wear the T-shirt and the campaign all the time.
Sure, sure. All right, well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about marketing a little bit because, you know, you have this e-commerce business, and so how are you guys acquiring your users? And I'm thinking you might have two sets of users, right? Because you have the person who's just shopping for a T-shirt. Do they come to your store, or only entrepreneurs? Okay, so both the shopper as well as the entrepreneur.
So when you go to Spreadshirt.com, you see the ability for a consumer to make their shirt, their design on shirts, or you see in the U.S., it's roughly about 4 million designs that have been entered by designers and various groups of people into Spreadshirt.com, and we do the marketing for Spreadshirt.com. And so we do that through search engines, social media, and generally just good retention of customers. The other part from Spreadshirt.com, if you click into there, you find our shop service called Spread Shops, where you can make a shop that is the completely white-labeled shop that looks like your brand. And there the marketing is done by the shop owner, not by us.
Gotcha. All right. And... okay, so I while we're talking here, I've gone to Spreadshirt.com. I've opened up a store, and I'm starting to play around with it. Again, for you guys that want to follow along, Spreadshirt.com. And so there is a price that I'm, that I'm looking at for a men's premium T-shirt. Is that my price to me, or is that the retail price?
That will be the retail price, but now you can add a design, you can add some extra to that if you want to put it up with the, when you add a design to that, you can increase that price.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. And this is amazing. You guys got everything from mugs to hoodies to iPhone cases. Aprons, it's just a massive selection here, ball caps, everything.
But in the end, the creative designs and the memes and themes that the designers or the shop owners are putting in is what really drives it. So
sure.
I have 150 base products in there that you can print things on. But actually, in total, across all of our countries, we have over 17 million designs. And they're not our designs. They're the designs put in by the people who are innovating new ideas, innovating new designs or comments on things going on in the world. And that's really the driver of the business. Some of those designers, some of those people putting designs in, they just do it for fun. They make a little bit of money. We have a couple of people who are really professional and they really work at it, and some of them have actually made over $1 million. So it's possible to make $1 million selling design ideas and marketing them.
Sure. I mean, you know, there are so many things that happen in a community that you can design a T-shirt around or a hoodie or whatever it is, right? And with your spreadsheet.com, is it spreadsheet.com or spreadsheet.net? Spreadsheet.com, right?
So spreadsheet.com, yes.
Yeah, spreadsheet, spreadsheet.com. you know, you can...
That happens to me, don't worry about it.
You can... you literally can put, you really can take orders in. People can do their shopping. They can order online. And me as the designer slash producer, I have no headache or limited
amount
of
headaches.
I just focus on the marketing and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
you need to think of the design ideas, and you need to, if you market it, you will sell more of those ideas. Or if you leave it on just spreadsheet.com, we will market it, but it's then competing against a lot of ideas. So, but essentially it's the designs and the cool ideas that you're providing.
Sure, sure. Okay, so I got to ask you, Spreadsheet, how did the name Spreadsheet come about?
So our founder 15 years ago, when the whole clothing print-on-demand industry had just started, was basically working with a few small people in Leipzig who wanted to get their ideas out there. So his idea was you could spread your ideas on shirts and spread the designs. Mostly he was working with artists in those days. He was just graduated from university. It was his startup business idea. So it was founded really from the idea of spreading messages on shirts.
I love it. Yep. I think that's brilliant. And you know what? It's an odd name, which makes it pretty memorable.
Yeah.
And,
it's one we had to find that would work internationally as well, as a lot of words are quite hard to say for different countries.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right. Looking at the market, what do you suspect or what are your hopes how the market will develop?
Well, obviously, we've been in this business 15 years. And when I joined this business, which was almost 10 years ago, then we had about probably only about 20 or 30 competitors in the world. What we've really seen in the market is a lot of people enter the market, a lot of them very small, a lot of startups, and that has created a lot of noise in the market. And then recently we've watched Amazon enter into our market as well, and they now do use print on demand within the Amazon marketplace. So the market over the last 5 years has become more crowded. And a lot of companies or startups have come into our area. But what we're starting to see now as that develops is the pressure from Amazon, the pressure for actually making sustainable profits. We as a company have been profitable for a long time, but a lot of other people are starting to run out of money. It means we're seeing thinning of the herd. Many of those small companies will disappear in the next year or two. And we will see people, well, companies like ourselves are now starting to merge with other companies, so we expect to see a lot of mergers and acquisitions coming through.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's part of the cycle of any industry, right? You have all these players, and then, of course, the leaders of that industry or the ones who have the most capital are able to kind of merge or gobble up the smaller ones.
Yeah. Actually, my first e-commerce business 20 years ago was selling videos in the UK. Actually, before Amazon started selling videos in the UK, but we didn't survive Amazon arriving in the UK. We weren't big enough. We weren't efficient enough. Now, Spreadshirt now, as Amazon comes into our market, is big enough and is strong enough, and that's why we have all those factories that can give that quality of delivery that competes with Amazon. And we have specialist brands that really attract the designers and the content, and therefore we're able to not only be the competitor to Amazon in this field, but also be the company that other companies can join and use those manufacturing facilities to strengthen their position within the market. And so we expect to become one of the merger and acquisition leaders.
Sure. No, I love that. I think that makes total sense. You know, there is a lot of talk about AI, how AI is now starting to infiltrate all industries. They're talking a lot about AI and how it's going to affect e-commerce. Any thoughts about the future here with e-commerce and AI?
Yeah, we have an AI. So the easiest thing and the naughty thing to do in our business is upload somebody else's copyright. We have 100,000 designs coming into our platform every week, and they are checked by our AIs for trademark and noticeable copyright infringements, and we don't allow those to be published. And that is a learning AI that looks at things that are being rejected. We have a copyright checking team, so they're teaching it what things are copyright, what things are not, and it's continually improving that process that really automates it. So it takes over some roles where we had a vast number of students double checking those designs. Now we have less students because the AI is able to do it from quicker pre-check and pick out the obvious things quite fast. So what we found, at least our first use of them, is for that kind of task. But also we're starting to look at how things are ranked and marketed within the 70 million designs. How do we find the design that suits you when you come into our site, so that we get you the right things, the things you're interested in really quickly. So the use of big data and data that we have on you, or social media data, if you've registered with us through social media, means that we can find designs that are going to be of more interest to you. But being as everybody in the world has very different interests, finding the right one needs to be done by somebody that can think very fast. And so that's where we see the presentation of products to customers will also be handled by AIs.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing. The idea that you have a small team or a team of people checking copyright infractions or whatever it's called, now those people are going to be replaced by this AI, or has been replaced by these AIs that's able to do it quicker, better, faster. They don't get sick. They don't, they don't get mad. They just do it.
Yeah, they do. But it's a coordinated effect. It's not that we still need the people who are checking the things, and there is it needs that interaction, and it needs that human thought process to train it and work with it. I don't think we'll end up in the world where all my business has been replaced by AIs ticking away. So,
yeah, I don't see that either. I think that AI is definitely going to be useful, and it's going to allow us some different opportunities as well as challenges. But yeah, I think that overall, you and I are going to do business because you and I like, know, and trust each other, not because AI did something special. I mean, I think that ultimately business and communication, whether it's done on the internet, on social media, by the postal service, However that communication is done ultimately comes back down to building a relationship with another person.
Yep. And, well, to date, most AI activity we've seen and we've worked on is about the improvement of repetitive tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, the innovation and how we think about things still comes back to this having humans looking at the problem, because if you look at a repetitive task of copyright checking, it's fairly simple to train something to do that. But if you want to, introduce a whole series of new products with a new printing process, that requires chemists discovering new ways to do things. It requires engineers to design new printers. It's not a repetitive task. Many of our marketing innovations, many of our production innovations, and particularly the usability of the sites and redesigning how you publish things is a human-to-human conversation. We spend a lot of time talking to people who sell on our sites, discovering what they find tough, what they find easy, and working through complete redesigns of our system. 6-7 years ago, it would have taken you maybe an hour to build a reasonable shop that now you can build in 5 to 10 minutes on our system. And my hope is to get that down to a minute. So,
wow.
But that is human interaction. That is,
yeah.
AIs aren't necessarily going to work that out for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Philip, it has been outstanding to have you stop by and visit us today. I look forward to working with Spreadshirt.com, Spreadshirt.com. And I look forward to having you back again and getting updated on what's happening with Spreadshirt.com.
Terrific, and I look forward to hearing your shows. So thank you very much.
You bet. Good stuff there from CEO Philip Rook, Spreadshirt.com. Here is this company, that is in a very competitive space, but they found different ways to innovate. They warehouse their own inventory so they can get the product to you quicker, better, faster. Please, let's share this episode with everybody you know. Let's let people know about their ability to maybe log on to Spreadshirt.com and utilize that as a possible ways to help their community, their organization, maybe their team. And also, I like the discussion that we had about AI. AI is going to do a lot of amazing things, but it will not replace all of us. It will not replace the interaction. It will not replace the relationship that is needed. Anyway, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate you stopping by every day. I appreciate you sharing the program. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.